to Punta Vista episode 378, our first episode for 2025. And I hope you had a good Christmas and New Year, although I will say obviously the Christmas period can be a tough time for some folks for a ton of different reasons. And I want to be real with you at the top of the show, I had a pretty rough Christmas. First of all, Viv of the show, my grandma Viv, had another minor stroke. She's still with us, Ben. It's all right. I saw your... She bounced back pretty good the next day, you know. But it always shakes us up. There's no joke about that. That's just kind of the reality of being 94 years old, right? Mm. Then, like, in the main... we ended up buying a house in a big hurry in the lead up to Christmas and moving in like a week later. And, you know, like I'm one of the people that can be in the housing market. So don't cry for me. You know, it's tough out there for a lot of people.
I chose the least possible stressful time to do it too.
But that's right. Yeah. And it was like crazy disruptive, right? Like, especially for the kids, their routines all went out the window and they watched a bunch of TV since Caitlin and I were always busy, like doing something or other. And TV turns them into absolute cunts. And it was like day three of me being yelled at every fucking waking hour and wanting to drive my car out of the garage and keep driving. And our washing machine broke because I didn't put the fucking moving bolts back in because I'm a stupid piece of shit. And I remember one night we cooked roast chicken and veggies and the kids had none of it. And afterwards, I'm looking at this butchered chicken on the, you know, on the wet chopping board. And I'm going like, I have no idea how to do this. I don't know how to clean this up. I'm 38
thinking,
years
I wish
old.
That was me.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish someone had killed me. Like, I'm 38 years old and I can't work out how to get this chicken into a fucking Tupperware container, right? Just like completely like breaking down. And I thought, no, you know what? You're 38 years old and you've been in therapy most of your adult life. You can work this out, right? It's a simple thing. So I opened my phone, I hit random album on Plexamp, and it came up with Effloresse by Ocean Size. And of course, it was 7:30 at night, so I'd already listened to Effloresse once that day. So I hit random again, and it came up with this album. I'm not trying to be funny, Andrew. It came up with this album, The Shaming of the True by Kevin Gilbert, which about three people on earth have listened to. And Kevin Gilbert was this tragic figure, right? He was in a few bands in the 80s, but then notably he was Sheryl Crow's boyfriend and member of the eponymous Tuesday Night Music Club from her debut record, and he co-wrote like a bunch of her songs. He's got a writing credit on All I Want to Do. And then when she went big, she just left them all behind, right? And so he was like destitute for most of his life, right up until his death by accidental suicide in 1996. At the age of 29, right? At which time Genesis was looking to hire him as their replacement vocalist after Phil Collins left the band. He's a really tragic guy. And Shaming of the True is a concept album about a guy who goes to Hollywood and makes it big and ends up completely hollowed out. So it obviously like draws from a bunch of his experiences in Hollywood. And it was put together after his death by his friend Nick DeVirgilio, based on his demos and notes. And, you know, it's a bit naff, but it's also like sad and beautiful and fun and really angry. And when I listen to something like this, I don't feel like sad or angry or whatever. I do feel sad, right? But I also feel more human and more connected. Like, this guy put it all out there and this is how he felt. And, you know, it's human to feel angry. It's okay to feel worthless, because there's also kindness and beauty coexisting within you, right? And remember, I'm standing in my kitchen listening to this and I suddenly feel more alive, right? I feel like a real human. And it's like a spell's been lifted from me, or at least for like half an hour. And if there's any punchline to any of this, it's that, you know, occasionally we get messages from people saying, oh, I was going through a really tough time and your show helped me laugh, right? And it's not many. I'm not trying to blow smoke up our asses, but it does happen from time to time. And we don't intend the show to be completely nihilistic, but it's like we do all these batshit stories and sometimes it feels like we're insane trying to make sense of it. But it's the world that's sick. It's not us, right? It's not you. You're not sick. It's the world that's sick. And in some way, I hope that the show helps you feel more human in some way. I'm Theo, and my big engorged spider belly is ready to burst with tens of thousands of little spider eggs. The pressure on my pussy is almost unbearable. Oh, I hate it, but I sort of love it, and I'm just aching for that release when all those little eggs are going to slide out and fuck up my web with all my disgusting juices. Here they come now, and one of them's hatched already. It's my good friend Ben, who's desperately trying not to be eaten by several of his brothers and sisters before he can jet off and do some disgusting spider stuff. Hey, Ben.
If you decided that 2025 was the year you're going to start listening to the podcast Bunta Vista, and this is the first episode, that maybe it's got a funny name. Maybe you thought, ooh, that one sounds funny.
Yeah.
Thank you for making it to this point so far. Really appreciate it. I'm a nasty little spider. Ooh. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks. Uh-oh, here comes my pathetic spider husband, Andrew, terrified of being eaten, but at the same time kind of turned on by the prospect. And he sounds just like George Takei. Hey, buddy.
Don't.
Babe, how are you feeling?
You just turn it on like that.
I actually feel a little bit hungry after that labor.
Don't. No. You have one crack at it, and I think it maybe was okay. But I think if you try a second one, we're putting ourselves into serious jeopardy.
And a big uh-oh, because from here, all I can see is the bottom of a big black boot coming down to crush us all, like the disgusting bugs we are.
Yay.
Attached to that boot is Lucy. Hi,
I don't
Lucy.
Have to be a nasty Happy little spider like you guys. You're all small and nasty and deserve to be stepped on.
Okay. Jesus.
Just before I get crushed, I say, oh my.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Okay. It is. All right. Okay. 2025!
Podcasting's back, baby.
It's back in a big way.
Happy New Year's to each and every one of our beautiful and sensual listeners.
Jesus fucking Christ. Hey, one of the Star Trek movies that had George Takei in it was called The Undiscovered Country. There's another country that is discovered. It's the Netherlands. It's time for Netherlands Watch.
Everybody, I'm from Holland. Isn't that beer?
Hey, this is something we do every year where we check in. I think we're the only outlet in the world that reports on this, except for the primary sources from which we gather our material. Dutch New Year's. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you're familiar with what it is. We've covered this previously on the episodes 180, Battlefield Urk, 231, Dutch Watch Inferno, 279, Show Me a Printout of Dutch Koshy, and 328, The Harlem Globetrotters. They blow themselves up.
Yeah,
for New Year's Eve.
This is the fifth time.
Like deliberately.
Fifth time we're covering it. So you can count that on one hand, unless you're Dutch.
Yeah.
Hey, do you like this? We're a half decade of covering Dutch New Year's.
I don't like that.
And it's not getting any better.
No, it's not, Lucy. That's very true.
They refuse to learn from us.
Now, because we have covered this before, I'm going to kind of do this as more of a highlight reel. Of just some of the key...
Yeah, the funniest of the funny.
That's right. Yeah. So first up, just a little bit of a preamble, just to sort of set the tone. So this is some reports from just before New Year's. First one here from DutchNews.nl. Firework sales start ahead of Dutch New Year frenzy. Firework sales for the New Year festivities began officially at midnight on Friday night, one day earlier than normal because they may not be sold on a Sunday. Sales normally run from December 29th to 31st in the Netherlands.
Like the Sabbath? You can't sell fireworks on the Sabbath?
Yeah, we can't buy fireworks on the Sabbath. Okay, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, you need someone else to light the firework for you on the Sabbath as well.
That's right. The rules for fireworks have become tougher over the years. Buyers are now required to buy safety glasses and fuses and cannot purchase more than 25 kilos of fireworks per person.
Fuck! That's so much fireworks, dude.
That number needs to be lower.
Yeah, like two.
I wonder if they put like a wheelie bin outside the door for people to just deposit the safety glasses in as they go back to their car.
Oh my God, yeah. That's here, you throw these out situation for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then you know, the sort of every hour or two, you can go out and bring them back in. You know, bring them around. You take the wheelie bin around to the back of the store, and then you just bring it up to the side of the counter and start handing them out again. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of the state of the medical waste bin at the hospital the day after. Like that
like
thing is
fingers.
full of fingers.
That's a bin full of
just
fingers.
Full of fingers.
Yeah. Little Dutch fingers. Fat little Dutch fingers.
Fat little Dutch fingers.
Just let's 25 all just
kilos. How many fireworks are you getting for that?
Let's all picture for a second going to a gym and picking up one of the 20-kilo plates.
What is a firework weigh, you reckon? A kilo? Less than a kilo.
Well, I'm thinking about a roast chook, right? That's like 1.5 kilos.
Yeah.
Just depends on the provenance of the bird, I suppose.
Yeah. Mm. So imagine like 12 of those worth of fireworks. 12
yeah,
roast chooks
12
versus
roast chickens worth of fireworks.
Yeah.
In the back of a the back of what a Hyundai
what
a
Dutch
Elantra
people quick Google what do Dutch people drive?
I think it's in the back in the of, basket a smart of a bicycle.
Car. No, I'm thinking of the classic Red Rooster story we covered.
Oh, absolutely, but
all those
I feel like everyone
trunk.
Gets that.
Yeah.
Thank God.
This is also the maximum weight of explosive allowable in a private car. So
yes, they are putting it in the back of their Ford Festiva.
Just load up the boot. Let me load up the boot of my Skoda with 25 kilograms and these fuses. And I'll just
hoping
leave the
glasses
here. They
don't combine themselves in the back when I go around a corner.
The type of fireworks which consumers are allowed to set off has also been limited to types F1 and F2, which means no Chinese firecrackers, no Roman candles, and no rockets.
Oh, thank God.
Fireworks fans looking for more powerful explosives head to Belgium, where the rules are not as strict.
See,
what's
that's
going
why
on
they're
in Belgium?
Belgium?
Yeah, just nipping over
hit
the border.
Up Belgium New Year's.
I knew it.
Well, mate, I think Belgium is exporting its New Year's violence to the Netherlands.
You
they probably have like the safest
there.
One.
Yeah,
because the Dutch people have taken all their fireworks.
This is like how Americans are scared of the cartel, but the cartels are all using American weapons that have been smuggled in, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
I've got a little bit more foreshadowing here. This is from the NL Times. People in the Netherlands break record from 2022 for most money spent on fireworks. People in the Netherlands spent around 118 million euros on fireworks this year. This was reported by the chairman of Belangenvereniging Pyrotechniek Nederland, the Pyrotechnics Association of the Netherlands. This breaks the record of 2022 when fireworks importers and wholesalers had a turnover of approximately 115 million euros, according to the Trade Association.
I'd love to figure out how many euro 25 kilos of fireworks buys you, and then we could figure out like how many tons
true.
Of fireworks they've been through.
I think we're there's paying also Dutch people too much. Their wages are too high. I think that's the issue. We've got to cut that off. Yeah.
Their society is actually too fair. Their like income inequality is actually equality is too good.
Yeah.
And
so they're spending
all
it all
using
on
that.
Yeah.
Too much excess
capital.
Money disposable for fireworks.
I like the alternative idea though, which is that Dutch people are really tightening the belt year round. They're like, I know you need back to school supplies, little Bjorn. But
yeah, this is taking fireworks off the table.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're gonna have to reuse your pencils from last. We'll re-lead those pencils for you.
Yeah,
you know, you can get your hand-me-down pencil case, and we're gonna get the full. I'll go and get 25 kilos, and then your dad will go in separately and get another 25 kilos.
I'll go back in with a mustache on.
Yeah,
you
your
go
big
in
brother,
there. You go down to the shop and get some.
Your big brother is turning 18 this year, so he can go and get 25 kilos. You know, we're going to be a 75-kilo family this year. That's what I'm saying.
But I don't think this total includes the dark Belgian fireworks either, because this is just from the Netherlands Pyrotechnics Association. So I figure they're probably spending another 200 million euros in Belgium. It's great for Belgium. Groeneveld had already predicted that the total turnover would be higher than in 2023 when around 105 million euros were spent on fireworks. This prediction looks like it will come true. Quote, "It is a fantastic year for the fireworks sector," said Groeneveld. Good to keep that in mind when we get to everything else that we're about to talk about. Now, so this is some reporting from Newsday, from the day after the carnage. This first bit from the NL Times. New Year's Eve in the Netherlands, riots, arson and injuries across provinces. New Year's Eve celebrations across the Netherlands turned chaotic as riots, arson and injuries were reported in several provinces. The unrest included the burning of a police car in Veen, firework explosions causing severe injuries in Wognum, hospitalizations for firework-related injuries in children with alcohol poisoning nationwide, and widespread incidents of violence and property damage in cities like Rotterdam, The Hague and Culemborg.
Oh, I love the purge.
Yeah.
All these drunk children firing explosives at EMS.
Burning police cars.
In the village of Veen, located in the province of Noord-Brabant, the decades-old tradition of setting car wrecks ablaze escalated into violence.
Yeah, we'd hate to see setting car wrecks on fire getting out of control.
Become violent, yeah.
Also, they seem, like, surprised. They lay it out like a story every single time, and a story that they've never heard before.
As if it's novel.
Yeah. This is really, like, dog bites man news. For
Not like they're reciting a saga. Like that they've been passing down as an oral tradition since the Chinese.
Like a cycle, like a grand cycle.
Near the notorious Witboomstraat van der Loestraat intersection, where hundreds gathered to witness the annual car burnings, a police vehicle was destroyed.
Hundreds gathered to witness the annual car burnings.
Getting your deck chair out.
Yeah.
Oh, I need a good spot for the car burning.
Good way to get rid of your old car, I guess. Yeah. Just drive it down to the car burning spot.
Good for the environment.
Yeah.
Around 3 a.m., as officers stood roughly 10 meters from their patrol car, two young men poured a flammable liquid into the vehicle and set it on fire, according to eyewitness accounts. The mobile unit intervened, using water cannons to disperse the crowd and secure the area, which was littered with the remains of 8 burned out vehicles.
Hey, stop that. And just in the nick of time, too, it sounds like.
I think the team said tee hee hee while they were doing it.
Yeah. And while they were getting their bare ass sprayed with water.
In the North Holland village of Wognum, two young men sustained serious injuries when a firework exploded in a field on Wijstenderweg around 11 p.m. A spokesperson for the regional safety authority stated the nature of their injuries is not yet known. In Alphen aan den Rijn, one of the most significant incidents occurred shortly after midnight when a fire broke out in several construction trailers on Wederikstraat. Flames spread to at least 7 parked cars before firefighters gained control around 1:45 a.m. Though no injuries were reported, residents were alarmed and authorities assessed the structural safety of a nearby scaffolded apartment complex.
Are cars really that flammable?
Yeah,
are they making them extra flammable in Europe?
They've got some flammable stuff in them, as far as I understand.
Oh,
They're storing explosives inside cars?
Yeah.
A separate blaze in Nootdorp heavily damaged a commercial building on Ambachtshof earlier in the evening.
Great name. Supposed to take these people seriously.
Nootdorp? Yeah. No, what's
Your
become of
living
Nootdorp?
In Nootdorp?
That's why they have to be so violent, because it's Bjorn from Nootdorp. He's got to have a release somehow, and that's burning a car.
I'm not silly, all right? My life isn't silly.
I don't live in a silly place. I'm not actually a silly guy. You wouldn't believe it by how I speak.
I'm a serious man.
Yeah.
The fire primarily consumed the building's roof and caused significant water damage to adjacent businesses. No injuries are reported, but the cause remains unclear. I think the cause was having a good time.
Yeah, it's too much fun.
Just letting off some steam.
It's all in the name of a bit of fun.
Australians seem sensible. It's really something.
Yeah. Yeah, we just do a race riot every 5 years.
Yeah, we just kind of have a race riot. Not every year, though.
Yeah, semi.
Yeah, we're not monsters.
Biannual.
More here from DutchNews.nl. There were a number of minor incidents during the New Year celebrations in the Netherlands, and a 14-year-old boy from Rotterdam was killed earlier in the evening, reportedly trying to relight an illegal cobra firework, officials said on Wednesday morning.
Cobra. Don't mess with the cobra. That's sad.
That is unbelievably fucking sad, yeah. Riot police were forced to intervene in several places, and dozens of cars were set on fire, 20 of which were in Utrecht, according to local media reports. By 7:30 a.m., 17 patients had been treated at Rotterdam's specialist eye hospital, around half of whom were minors.
I always forget about the eye hospital.
It's mostly about eyes.
It's got to be open all night on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Worst night of the year for the eye fixing and finger reattaching hospitals.
You think of firework maiming and you think of fingers getting blasted into the next suburb, but you forget about the eyes. Getting the little child eyes getting shrapnel in them.
because we keep going back to, like, well, because they all go to the same specialist eye hospital, and because this guy clearly is good at his job and he hasn't gone to another one, we keep hearing from the same people, like Dr. Turd the Father.
Turd the Father,
who they talk to every year, and every year says, hey, we need to knock this off.
Yeah.
I don't know if he believes that. I think Turd the Father is making a bit of bank from this, by the sounds of it.
I think he gets paid like the same, not on like a quota of how many eyes he prepares.
He owns the clinic. Not per peeper. He's not getting paid per peeper.
Yeah. Turd the Father said the situation was similar to last year and again called for a national firework ban. Yeah, but it'll definitely happen this year. Absolutely. Keep asking.
You keep asking for that.
Anyway, keep up the hard work.
Yeah, thank you for what
you
do.
Thank you so much.
For the eyes of the Dutch.
Love your work. Love the feedback. Love the comment. We'll take it on.
As every year, the firework ban, now extended to 19 towns and cities, was widely ignored. Most local police forces had said stopping people setting off their own fireworks would not be a priority. Yeah. In Rotterdam, ambulances were called out 250 times, treating both firework victims and people who had been injured in a fight, as well as people who were drunk or under the influence of drugs. The Port City's Fire Brigade received 928 reports of fires, far more than last year, and 51 cars had to be extinguished. Huh. There were 14 fires in buildings, mainly in sheds and storage areas.
Okay.
Outbuildings, mostly. In Utrecht, riot police were brought in to quell trouble in the Overvecht and Canalen Island districts, where emergency service workers were pelted with fireworks. At least 13 people were arrested.
It's the same story again and again.
City council officials said the trouble was the exception, and in most places, the celebrations passed off peacefully.
Like, can we get some scare quotes around peacefully there? Can we get, like...
What's peacefully? Just no one was injured?
Yeah, peacefully is in the remaining eye of the beholder, right?
However, the fire brigade had to deal with 38 car fires involving 43 vehicles, well up on previous years.
38 car fires, 43 vehicles.
So you're counting if like two cars are next to each other and they're both on fire. That's one.
The same car fire.
That's one car fire.
Is it per car?
Well, how could you have 38 car fires for 43 vehicles if it's one fire per car?
Do you think your car insurance premiums are fucked up if you live in one of these towns and you're going to be there over New Year's? Like,
are you going to own your car on New Year's Eve?
Yeah. Are you planning to live in the town you live in and continue owning your car
over New Year's Eve? Do you park on the street?
Yeah.
Are you fleeing the Netherlands?
Between the times of the 31st of December and the 1st of January.
Yeah.
Now, this is important.
If so, we are adding a premium that is roughly the cost of a 2014 Skoda Octavia to your premium.
I got more here from DutchNews.nl. A 46-year-old man who was badly injured in an accident involving fireworks on New Year's Eve has died in hospital. The man who came from Buren is the second person to die from a firework injury. Dozens of other people were seriously injured in the annual firework frenzy, and 27 people were treated at Rotterdam Specialist Eye Hospital. So you'll note that number has gone up by 10 since we last mentioned the figure.
Oh, no. I know people are dying here, so it is very tragic. But this man came from Buren?
Buren.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. keep going.
Noticing the repeated use of the word frenzy is really painting a picture here.
What else do you call it? Like, you just have to stay home. Like, I already stay home. I'm a stay home on New Year's person, but this seems like scary. Like, I'm locking my doors.
And this is the final summary, so we get a little look at the facts and figures here. This comes from DutchNews.nl.
Got some stats.
In total, the police were called out to deal with 8,292 incidents and made 245 arrests. The fire brigade was called out to deal with 4,106 fires, an increase of 400 on last year.
4,000 fires.
This year, 295 police officers and 49 emergency service workers were either physically or verbally attacked. That's don't count verbally.
Yeah.
It's New
Year's Eve. Can't say either.
Yeah. Just give me a statistic for physical and I'll take that one seriously. Some guy being like, peace off, is probably, that's probably fine. Meanwhile, the Dutch Safety Institute Veiligheid NL said 1,162 people had been treated for firework-related injuries, which is roughly in line with last year. Of these, 367 were taken to hospital with more serious injuries. Several dozen people lost a hand, finger, or part of their foot.
Oh, my. Part of your foot.
Shit. Several
you're
dozen.
You're stepping on one to put it out.
Or you're just too close when you, like, let it off because you've been drinking fucking Amsterdam. You've been drinking Hoegaarden. Grolsch, yeah.
No, I don't think that's Dutch, actually.
Oettinger. You've been drinking Oettinger all night.
Schlitz. Case of Schlitz.
You've been having a case of Schlitz.
25 kilos. I got 25 kilos of fireworks.
I got 25 kilos of fireworks and I've got 2 cases of Schlitz. The perfect evening. I can't wait to go to bed later with all of my hands and feet. Mm. Some 37% of injuries were down to illegal fireworks, 27% to fireworks bought legally in the Netherlands, and the rest is unknown. Mystery fireworks.
So that leaves... Sorry, 30% to illegal fireworks.
37 to illegal, 27 to legal, which brings us to 64. So 36%, we don't know. Fireworks of unknown provenance. Yeah.
Sometimes I don't understand other people. Like, why do you desire to do this? Or is it a peer pressure situation?
Yeah, because it kind of goes bang.
It's got to be like wicked crazy fun, right? It's
and most
be
people
awesome.
Are not getting like their hands blown off.
I guess most people, when you put it that way, it's like for all those people that died, how many people didn't die? How many people didn't lose a finger?
Just a large minority of people are getting their hands blasted off and shrapnel in their eyeballs.
Yeah, so what percentage of the population died?
Yeah. I think if there's probably still like 12 million Dutch people left, so they're fine.
You're saying they can lose a few limbs?
That's what they want, this is their culture. I think it's beautiful.
That's true. We should respect other cultures.
Yes. Is this the closest analogy that we have to the purge in modern life, where we have like what is otherwise, by all accounts, a relatively straight-laced culture, mm-hmm. and they behave themselves all year, and then they go, all right, it's fucking savage
time to let loose
time tonight.
Crazy time. It's crazy
it's time
hour.
To release the beast. You know,
yeah. This yeah. is what
aren't
happens.
You, aren't
society
you sick
is.
Of behaving? Don't yeah. you want to go batshit?
Yeah,
and we all do. We all do.
Australians just do it on like a minor level, like every weekend. And I think that kind of like levels it out a little bit.
And the Dutch save it up and they have 3 to 4 hours of uninterrupted psycho time.
Yeah, we just distribute our violence and dysfunction on average across the year in a normal way, you know? Mm-hmm.
In total, 19 towns and cities have been declared firework-free zones, but the impact has been limited. Felix Hard NL director Matantje Bakker said.
It's my favorite kind of impact.
Definitely not right. We have to ask ourselves as a society if it is acceptable that every new year more than 1,000 people, including children, are injured and in some cases scarred for life.
Meanwhile, at the back, someone's yelling at, yes, it is.
Yeah,
nerd.
I think the country has spoken.
Sit down.
Yeah, I think the country is answering you very clearly on an annual basis. I think collectively.
They're not going to stop.
They love it.
Like extremely loud and clear, you know?
Yeah, extremely loud.
Extremely loud and incredibly clear.
The right-wing government has already said it has no plans to introduce a nationwide fireworks ban. Great.
No, I mean, cool. They wouldn't, would they?
Yeah, good on them.
It's like 40% of the economy. They are the seventh largest importer of fireworks in the world, which when you consider, what did you say, Ben, about 20 million population?
I think like 12. I think it's like half the size of Australia, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so I feel like that kind of puts their relationship to fireworks somewhere in the realms of like Australia's relationship with poker machines.
Do you think there's like a fireworks lobby that's like making this happen?
I would be shocked if there weren't many, many people who made a fuckload of money there out of it.
That's the fucking guy. The guy that we heard from in like the second article.
This has been fantastic for
the
fireworks economy.
Grunewald. Yeah.
No, the doctor guy. He wants
the doctor.
This.
The eye doctor. He
the
loves this. I think it's Churd
and Grunewald.
The guy who's waiting for his annual eye bonus.
He gets paid per paper.
You wait till you see what he earns. It would make your eye water.
Yeah, the guy from Pyrotechniek Nederland.
That's a good clean
They've done some polling, and like 60% of respondents nationally have said that they would vote yes on a referendum to ban fireworks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the whole country is mostly like, please fucking stop doing this. But, you know, the people that like fun, that have a lust for life, they're sort of the louder voice because they're blowing shit up and they're screaming because they're on fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're leaving the house and they're getting heard.
Yes. Hey, the Netherlands. That's a pretty weird country, but it's not the weirdest country. We all know the weirdest country is the United States of America.
Yeah.
And we check in on those guys in America Watch.
America. They don't think they're weird, though. That's the
they
thing.
Don't. It's so funny how they think they're normal. How do you know what your temperature means? Well, that number seems crazy to me, so you guys mustn't understand it. Listen to yourself. You sound fucking stupid.
I posted a photo of a can of Diet Coke, and a bunch of Americans were like, 375 milliliters is the wrong amount for a can to be.
What? What the fuck size are their cans?
12 fluid ounces.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Just having a 12 soda.
It doesn't equal 375 mils, though.
Oh, right. Okay.
Freaks. You guys might have actually seen some footage of this thing that I'm about to describe to you, but I thought hearing it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, is a uniquely American experience. This is a press release from Duke's Mayonnaise.
Finally. Yes. Their silence has been deafening.
It's time someone gave them a platform. Duke's Mayo surprises fans with celebrity mascot reveal at 2025 Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Ooh.
what a wonderful image that conjures.
Yeah.
Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Drink deeply from Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah, especially if you're not like an American sports fan and you have no concept of like
of
the college
Mayo
bowl.
The
Rose Bowl or any of these things, and instead I'm just picturing a heaping bowl of mayonnaise. Delicious.
Yeah.
Creamy, full egg mayonnaise.
Yes, I'm rubbing my tummy and I'm licking my lips.
Duke's is pretty vinegary, though.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Getting a Duke's review.
Yeah, I bought some a little while ago because I was like in the deli that I get many of my cheeses and such from. It's where I get my sauerkraut, my roasted peppers, my dark fat, things of that nature. And I needed mayo for something I was making. And I was like, oh, they got Duke's. I've heard that shit's good. And I picked it up and I was like, you know what? I'm making like a really big thing of whatever the fuck it was, Hawaiian macaroni salad. I was like, I'll get two of them. And I got two of these things, put them through the register along with everything else, and looked at the screen at some point and realized that they were $25 each.
That's fucked up.
And I went, but it was like too late. It was too late. I couldn't be like, I'm sorry.
Can't be like, no, I don't want to pay $25 for mayo. Actually, that's a psycho thing to do. I'm not fucking buying them.
Your imported mayo prices are fucking insane. Instead, I had to play it off like it was normal for me to spend $50 on mayonnaise in a single transaction.
Like looking around like, oh, geez, I got the $25 mayonnaise. Guess that's just how I roll.
I didn't even look at the price. It doesn't bother me.
That's how much I value this beautiful vinegary mayonnaise.
So yeah, it's got a little more tart than your regular mayo.
Duke's Mayonnaise turned up the flavor at the 2025 Duke's Mayo Bowl with an epic post-game surprise. Duke's beloved mascot Tubby unmasked to reveal none other than hip-hop legend Flavor Flav.
Wow.
Holy shit, it's Tubby. Tubby's taking off his mask. Holy shit, it's Flavor Flav.
Have you guys seen what Tubby looks like?
Nah, let's
get
him up.
Tub of mayonnaise.
I like looking at Tubby. I gotta say, I'm pretty into Tubby.
Now, Tubby, I can get
behind. Oh, all right, okay.
Yeah, Tubby got eyebrows.
So, Tubby, for anyone,
yeah, for anyone who's not looking at him, he's got like incredibly Greek eyebrows.
Yeah,
he looks like a Greek Tubby's cigarette. Greek. Yeah,
and his googly eyes are pointing off in different directions.
This is his eyes are drawn Rick and Morty style, like where the pupil is just a scribbled thing. And this is they're doing this on purpose, all right? Tubby was unveiled like 2 or 3 years ago, and they're being wacky on purpose. They're trying to get in on that sort of gritty vibe of having, you know.
Or when they were doing, remember when Planters were doing like the Mr. Peanut thing where they're like, we're killing him. Mr. Peanut, and now there's a baby Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
And
we've done that whole
remember
thing where
baby
we went.
Nut?
We went from like normal advertising to self-aware advertising to like everybody just being like, we know advertising is fucking stupid. We're deliberately making abrasive and unsettling things. I guess
we'll debase ourselves if it'll make you clap.
It's got to be like an attention economy thing, right? Where it's just like at this point we're just trying to do something weird enough to get people to look
like
for
the,
a few minutes.
Pakistan airline that did the graphic of the plane hitting the Eiffel Tower. Right?
Yes.
That's deliberate.
Almost
right?
hitting. About
almost
to hit
hitting.
It.
Yeah.
On the precipice
what?
Of hitting
now
it.
Now I know they got direct flights between Islamabad and Paris. So
it's good to know.
It's good advertising.
I am I way off base? I don't know why anybody wants to see Flavor Flav hanging out at places anymore.
No, like, I don't know if they do. He must just be like cheap. Like that's a bug.
Yeah,
you gotta book someone.
Yeah,
you
got and
someone you turn up at the Duke's Flavor Bowl or whatever, and they don't have like a hip hop artist that you go, oh, I haven't thought about him in a hot minute.
Mm.
You walk away disappointed.
More of a hype man than an artist.
Play that big Flavor Flav song.
Yeah, you go to the Duke's Bowl and they don't bring the flavor.
Did I don't know if I've said this on the pod before, but we ever talked about when a friend of the show, previous guest J.R. Hennessy, got a call out of the blue from Flavor Flav?
Yeah,
no.
No.
It doesn't ring a bell, and I feel like it should.
So some probably Australian, extremely online person used Cameo to get Flavor Flav to give a shout out to Cardinal George Pell. And then Heno.
Yeah, it's all going back to me now.
Yeah, Heno wrote an article about it and was like, hey, Flavor Flav just shouted out Cardinal George Pell. And then like a couple of hours later, a call gets forwarded to his desk phone. It's like, hey, what's up? It's Flavor Flav. Didn't know all the stuff about that guy. Was unaware.
My
bad. Yeah.
Again, seems loosely related to the concept of taking any amount of money that is being made available to you to speak on behalf of something.
Yeah.
Maybe just Google giving a shout out and the word like pedo and just see if anything pops up.
Yeah.
It only takes 2 minutes to Google that person and pedo.
Yeah.
Just feel like Flavor Flav was like culturally relevant in what, the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
The late 80s, the sort of Public Enemy era. And then there was like the resurgence of him in
the reality show, right?
Flavor of Love, the reality TV dating show in which a bevy of women competed for the sexual attentions of one Flavor Flav.
Mm. Not as good as Rock of Love with Brett Michaels.
No. And it was also like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, that was also 20 years ago.
Yeah. Is he immortal? Is that why we're clapping?
Yes.
That's what the clock symbolizes.
That's what the clock
does. That's how much history over time.
Time is frozen. If he takes it, he dies.
I've got a video here of the moment that he is unveiled, and it also has the moment that they dump a big tub of mayonnaise over like one of the coaches.
Yeah, that was coming up in the story.
Sorry, Ben.
Spectators went wild as the rap icon bought his unmatched energy and signature clock necklace, rocking Bank of America Stadium and proving that Dukes knows how to keep it flavorful on and off the field. Sucks.
I know it's been happening for so many years, but it's still like it's still just a special kind of depressing to hear Bank of America Stadium.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
And what was the other thing you said, Ben?
Crypto.com arena, you know.
No, right at the end there.
Keep it flavorful?
You've just got to keep riding this press shit
until someone kills you
on this earth, right? Like, apparently this is just culture now. We've got to grind this out, squeeze our little culture tubes, and less of this horrible paste will come out each time.
It's just a little powder. Slightly moist powder.
Dust.
quote, when we started thinking about how to bring this to life, Flavor Flav just felt right, said Rebecca Lupesco.
Yeah, he answered our call.
Yeah, he picked up almost instantly. It's like half a ring. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. How much? Doesn't matter.
He's been calling us for months.
Quote, his energy is unmatched. And when he said he has an unhealthy love of mayo, that was icing on the cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was mayo on the sandwich.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. Flavor Flav and Dukes together? Doesn't get better than that.
Agree to disagree.
I can think of lots of things. Going for like a walk on a nice afternoon.
Yeah, getting sucked off on a jet ski.
Yes.
Looking into my beautiful children's eyes, or thinking about the brand synergy between Flavor Flav and Duke's mayonnaise.
Flavor Flav's debut as Duke's celebrity mascot was revealed after the Minnesota Golden Gophers won the game 24-10 against Virginia Tech. The excitement continued when Flavor Flav was given the reins to perform the highly anticipated mayo dump, pouring nearly 5 gallons of Duke's mayonnaise on coach PJ Fleck to celebrate his team's victory.
What a vile waste of mayonnaise, honestly.
Can I say though, I don't think it's uncut mayo. I think they've watered it down
a
little.
No, it's not 5 gallons.
I don't think it's
their
premium stuff for sure.
No, it's I think if you were really dumping out 5 gallons of Duke's, it'd come out like blobby.
It's thick, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Gotta have like a comically large spoon to scoop it out.
That's funny.
No, that's funny.
That's good. That's a good twist on a classic formula.
That's a good
formula,
gag.
Yeah, him sitting underneath while someone with a big spatula like gets
slapping
the top of
the
thing.
Trying to get it out.
Almost there. All right.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, put in some hot water.
While it might seem like a questionable match, there are lots of synergies between Dukes and Flavor Flav.
Fuck. What, don't say that in your press release.
I hate these.
Yeah.
Don't say in the press release. We know it's pretty iffy.
No, they're leaning into it too hard.
I know that there was a punchline about spider pussy and stuff in the end there, but I genuinely do think this world is sick.
Yeah, but we're fine.
It's diseased.
We all agree on that.
Brand synergies between Duke mayonnaise and Flavor Flav. I don't need to think that. Nobody needs to think
Okay, I can see that.
Let's hear him out.
Yeah, they have some reasoning here. He's an icon whose name just happens to be Flavor Flav. I mean, just happens.
I think he chose it. I don't think it was his birth name.
What they're saying is that it just happens to align with our brand, which is something that has a taste.
Well, yeah, and Duke's is loved for its unique flavor. So you can see flavor.
Oh, now I'm actually getting the synergy now.
Yeah, the synergy is so long ago,
him getting that name.
And like mayo, Flav is the ultimate hype man, adding flavor and spice, but also complementing the main dish. Mayonnaise is kind of the hype man of the sandwich in a way. It's not the hero element, it's not the star, but it does elevate the rest of the sandwich.
Yes.
Mayo is the elevator. Quote, Flavor Flav and Duke's mayo, now that's a flavor combo, said Flavor Flav. Yeah. Quote, I brought the hype to Tubby, the coolest, creamiest mascot in the game, because we're spreading the love, Duke style.
Coolest, and of course, creamiest mascot in the game.
He's just reading this off like his palm to whichever camera will point at him on his way to the bank.
He's picturing the next car he's going to buy.
Yeah.
And of course, if we were to rank mascots from
like
most
creaminess,
least to most creamy, as we're all often doing. Yeah.
He's definitely the most explicitly cream-filled.
The most mayo-related mascot in the game.
Hey, I bet this sort of really obnoxious, weird-on-purpose sort of advertising is a trend that's going to continue into 2025. We'll look at some other trends that will go into 2025 in Trend Watch. Now, we did this last year, which you might remember from being really ahead of the game, trends, because we informed you. So we're going to do this again. These are the top trends for 2025 across all of their trend categories from the forecasting company WGSN. Now, first up, we have their fashion top trend, dayjamas.
Right.
I mean, I've been doing this for years.
Yes. You're a Dayjama man.
I'm a Dayjama man. Is I'll stay wearing, in my pajamas all day.
Wearing your pajamas, or is this like loungewear?
I think it's wearing your pajamas during the day, so for sort of for whatever.
Ah.
Are we talking like how ironic? Semi-ironic? Quasi-ironic?
No, I think sincere.
Sincerely. Mm. Like this shit's comfortable.
As luggage costs and size limits become more restrictive, travelers seek versatile items catering to various uses. Yes. I like versatile items with various uses.
Yeah.
Dayjama sets in bold and fun prints transition wearers from beach to bar to bed.
Oh, like a cabana set?
I think a cabana set's kind of.
This sounds a lot like a thing that exists.
Yeah. Also, we've had track pants for a very long time.
Yep. We mainstreamed them.
You can't wear them to the bar.
And they you can't. I mean,
Ken of the Sopranos. They did it all the time with the Sopranos.
Yeah.
Oh, legally you can't wear track pants to the bar?
Think of these as an upbeat revamp of the sad old sweat set. Sort of dismissing that out of hand because that's chuggy. It's out of date.
That's not what we mean.
So that's sad to you, kind of me just walking around with like hot sauce on my sweatpants.
Yeah. For activewear, Dayjama's focus on rest and recovery with wellness ingredients such as collagen, hyaluronic acid, and cannabidiol infused at the fiber level. You have collagen, hyaluronic acid, and CBD oil in the fibers of your Dayjamas?
I'm not a scientist, but that is false, not true.
You're not like going to the gym wearing your CBD Dayjamas?
CBD Dayjamas.
Yeah. Are these in the office?
It absorbs through my pussy.
I see you've noticed my CBD infused Dayjamas.
Actually, really high bioavailability. So.
Don't worry, there's no psychoactive component. I put on my THC Dayjamas when I get home. Yeah. WGSN's data shows sleepwear outperforming dresses and swimwear within the resort wear mix over the past 2 years.
What do you mean your data shows this?
Oh my God, this is such a like, just these yeah, differences without a distinction where they're just like, well, there are, you know, slightly different categories of comfortable clothes that don't show the stains to a huge degree. And we think one is outperforming the other.
What have we done to the world?
What have we done? Yeah.
Will God forgive us?
Absolutely not.
No. We brought monsters into the world. He didn't. He gave us a perfect world.
Yeah. We didn't need to put the cannabis oil in the Dayjama set.
You got collagen in your Dayjamas? Like, what are you? Who is that?
Did your legs plump? What's going on there? Not.
It can't be. Well, I mean, it's the absorbed.
You're getting that plump pork.
Oh. The next top trend is in their beauty category, and it is therapeutic laziness. In 2025, we will embrace a new evolution of self-care, therapeutic laziness. Building on the anti-wellness movement, this trend elevates...
Are you talking about downtime?
Oh, no, they're talking about bed rotting.
They're talking about bed rotting.
Yeah.
Building on the anti-wellness movement, this trend elevates bed rotting, or spending extended time in bed and being intentionally unproductive, into a refined self-care ritual loaded with tactile hedonism.
Oh, it's elevated bed rotting?
We had kind of a cultural moment where people were like, no, we're tapping out of this sort of cycle of aggressive productivity, this feeling that under capitalism you have to always be doing something.
Yeah.
We're fucking that right off. And then now that idea has been completely subsumed back into consumerism by these fucking vulture people.
Yeah, there is no idea that capitalism can't rebrand and sell back to you.
Yeah. It'll all be absorbed by the machine. Tactile hedonism.
That's jacking off.
You talk about jacking off.
Or is it like fidget? Is it fidgeting?
Might be fidgeting. Yeah.
I think it's jacking off.
The antidote to rising levels of burnout and anxiety, therapeutic laziness offers a guilt-free retreat where therapeutic rest meets beauty.
That's not the antidote. That's the palliative.
Yeah.
Hey.
Is
the enormous, unescapable machine of capitalism getting you down? Why not lie in bed?
Even when you're in your bed, you can't escape it. We've extended the zones that we're like monetizing to where you sleep.
You need to buy products for bed. Yeah. Bed products.
You need dream products.
Hey, elevated you think bed rotting.
Sleep is the escape? Too bad.
Yeah. We'll sell you dreams wholesale.
Fuck.
This rules. I genuinely feel so bad.
Yeah.
I feel so bad.
No, this is going to be great. We're tapping out from consumerism through bed wellness,
through buying more stuff.
Through buying products and services.
Sound like angry Gen X guys, but no, this really makes me sick. You see it all over Reels, and there's just so many products. Everything's products all the time.
And the people that are selling the products often don't realize they're doing it because they're the little Zoomer content creators who
they're just kind of taking all the language in and then just sort of putting it in the lifeless rock tumbler of their mind and spitting out words in different order that kind of make sense.
With product recommendations for you to buy. They're doing the advertising for free.
Can I offer an opposite direction to take here? What we seem to be doing in my home is disconnecting from this kind of stuff and engaging in like just enjoying and developing like personal skills and doing... I got Eleanor's loom back out, her four-shaft floor loom, and reassembled it. She's going to start doing some weaving again. Eleanor's been baking sourdough again, so she's got a sourdough starter living in the fridge.
And she's wife-maxing.
You know, I continue to enjoy making all my foods and stuff. She's doing a sourdough stuff, baking some sourdough, and she's also been like making other kinds of bread from like the sourdough discard. So, as you like bake from your sourdough, you then sort of take the sourdough starter back down to a point where it's at the right weight again, and then you feed it with a prescribed amount of flour and stuff like that. And the stuff that you've taken out, you can do stuff with. You can make like sourdough discard crackers or bread or whatever, and she's been doing that too, and it is very delicious. But also I've turned to her at some point and said, we can't keep eating this many big sandwiches. We can't keep eating big delicious sandwiches all the time. We're living Scooby-Doo style, you know. I'm trying to like make my own tortillas, do some of these things. These are all things that you can just do with like time and care and love.
It's nice.
And attention.
It's nice having something that doesn't involve you buying another thing.
You don't have to buy a thing. If you want to do stuff, if you want to make something, if you want to learn how to like make bread or make tortillas, or maybe you're gluten-free and you need to find something else to do, maybe you should be getting into like fermenting stuff, you know, doing natural ferments or pickling things or making preserves or whatever. But you don't need to put down a lot of money. And these things can absolutely serve as like your own little wellness activities where you just give time to yourself to do a process and put love and care into a thing and then like check it out at the end and go, okay, what could be a little better next time? And then you just build that into your process. You just keep going and there's no end to it. You can be like the little old Japanese guy who's been making sushi at the mall in Japan for like 40 years and he's just trying to make it perfect every time.
Yeah, nothing was wrong with that story.
Nothing's wrong with that story. Beautiful relationship with his own life and his two adult sons.
That's right. Hey, they can make their own restaurant if they're so hung up on it.
Jiro has no regrets, I believe, was the name of the documentary.
I'm not talking about Jiro specifically. I'm not talking about Jiro specifically.
I know.
The pursuit of perfection in a craft just for yourself.
It doesn't have
to be for anyone else or any of your ungrateful adult sons.
I bought my acoustic guitar when I was like 16 years old and I've still got it. And I can kind of play Trains by Porcupine Tree on it. Yes. And that's all right for me, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's just my nice little thing that I got.
Just do things for yourself and to do these sorts of pursuits, you don't have to be like constantly buying shit. You can just be buying some flour.
Or if you do have money, Warhammer figurines.
Warhammer figurines.
Yeah. Games Workshop.
Get a friend with a good resin 3D printer to print them for you. Don't fucking buy them. That company sucks ass.
There's other things to do other than engaging in the therapeutic laziness economy.
Also, you don't need a company or a brand to tell you how to lie in bed.
No.
Look inside yourself.
Let a podcast that you pay for tell you to lie.
Yeah,
man.
You
hey,
know how to lie.
Take it easy. Chill out.
Just, I think this is the year to accept that, like, social media's done. You know, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, it's all Born over. Hub, it's X-tube. All over. XTube.
Yeah, and all these forces are bigger than you as well. So kick up.
It's all kick up. It's all over. It's all
podcast
dying.
Maxing. Podcast yes. max in 2020. Yeah. That means paying all the creators that you like.
Yeah.
Spend all your money on that instead of the loungewear cannabis oil.
Well, you can incorporate that into your other activities. You can listen to a podcast while you do something nice and slow for yourself.
While you rub CBD oil into the crotch of your jeans.
Yeah.
Just buy your own oil.
There's so much more of this to go. Our beds will become wellness zones and self-care sanctuaries. Stop telling me that my bed's going to become a zone. Stop zoning my bed.
Mine's the jack-off zone.
Think... Treat While You Laze products that enhance skin and hair health while you unwind, or sensorial bedding imbued with nourishing ingredients and scents that bridge the gap between skincare and sleep. Leave my sleep alone.
Leave us sleep. We don't need to be doing something while we're lying down. That's the point of lying down. You don't need to be cramming more things into the time when you're not doing a thing.
Sensorial bedding? With nourishing ingredients?
Oh, yeah.
Imbued in the
beds don't have your sleep hygiene. You've got to have your fucking like lavender oil on your pillow or something.
No.
There's all this shit you've got to do.
We've accepted that sheets have a thread count. That's all I'm going
to
accept.
Damn. Sleep tourism will also have a new allure, with hotels and retreats offering rest programs and serene spaces with sleep-enhancing amenities, from AI smart beds to prescription-scented lullabies.
Fuck. So I did just
Shut
watch.
The fuck up!
I did just watch. I watched Dream Scenario for the first time the other night. So sleep tourism is currently occupying a different space in my mind.
AI smart beds.
Yeah, AI smart
not
beds.
A thing. Smart beds. Not going to happen.
I never sleep
AI
well in a hotel.
AI doesn't exist.
No. I want to sleep in my own fucking home.
I want to sleep in my bed with my shit pillow and my stuff.
Yeah. Ted Kaczynski's dead,
my
right?
My wife is there. Yep.
Like he died, right?
Yeah.
Did we kill him?
Did we kill him?
Just get too old.
Deep state get him?
Are you trying to recruit or?
Did even know he was sick.
Oh, he only died in 2023. Rips.
Maybe if we're lucky, he's been reincarnated.
Welcome back, Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah. You'll need to. This is a covert mission. You'll need to acquire weaponry on site.
Man. In an era of relentless pressure, this trend is one everyone can support. Offering a universally indulgent and restorative appeal. Sleep isn't indulgent. Sleep is like it's the thing that kills you fastest if you don't have any.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're desperately trying to move on, Ben, but like, I'm just wondering about the start of this where it says building on the anti-wellness movement. What did they mean by that?
This is pro wellness.
They're talking like it's
like
the same
going
shit.
To the gym?
Yeah, it's not active stuff. It's like passive stuff, but it's the same shit. It's the machine trying to sell you
skincare products and hair care products. Yeah,
they're clipping both sides of the ticket.
Yeah. Because like,
which I guess happens by default. So they're clipping it twice. Then
with all of this shit, like the Dejamas thing, where it's like because luggage costs and size limits keep becoming more restrictive, should do this as opposed to we should be. Bombing airlines. Parody.
Yeah.
Instead of it being a problem with like capitalism and airlines and all of that shit, it's your issue to fix in the same way that it's like, hey, you should do something really indulgent, like getting an appropriate amount of sleep in a comfortable bed, as though that isn't just what it should be.
If you have so much sleep debt that you want to pay like a couple of $100 or more to go stay at a hotel just to get a good sleep.
Oh my god!
Sort your fucking life out. For maybe use that money to buy a better mattress or something.
Buy
some
melatonin from iHerb.com. Like $30.
Fuck! Use the offer code BUNTA10.
BUNTA. iHerb melatonin.
I'm so these fucking people. From the interiors category, fake food.
Not new.
With 2025, it's going to be big though.
Soft
serve swirls as dog toys, hamburger area rugs and popcorn vases. Yes, please.
I hate this. I hate this. If I see a pillow that's shaped like a fucking hamburger, I'm mad. I'm seeing like red mist.
Pancake pillow that has a little butter pillow attached to it.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm not going to fuck you anymore. Or be fucked by you. Or suck you or be sucked by you, which was my plan originally.
You go to his house?
I don't do on-premise. I have to go there because of the arrangement. Embrace treat culture and propose decorative items and gifting ideas that tap into the feel-good stress relief power of bringing up a smile.
What are you saying?
I'll kill you. I'll fucking kill you.
You got a burrito wrap blanket? I'll kill you.
I feel like you are dead.
Everyone talks about 1984. No one talks about Brave New World anymore, right? Where the whole population is just like in this drugged up sexual bliss
indulgent
the whole time.
Yeah, it's about a utopia.
So that they don't change what's going on. Yeah. And it's stupid and it's trite to talk about Brave New World in 2025.
You sound like a dumbass when you do, but
it sounds super stupid. But also... Anyway.
Yeah.
But Theo, I kind of feel like this is part of the feeling currently is like not to be the most depressing podcast in the world on our first one back.
Oh, it's fine. Like, we started this way. We could go out.
New year, new us.
But I'm just saying, like, this is why I just currently am in this space where I'm like, I just want to disconnect from a lot of stuff and just have time with myself and read books and listen to my records and make
just
food.
Just me and my family
and talk
my
to my friends and my family.
And Bolotro,
all those things. Because it just feels like it makes you feel stupid to even say this stuff.
Yes. Yeah. It makes you feel so stupid to
and
just
ancient,
kind of go
stupid
like,
and ancient.
Like it's all so obvious and we've all been saying it for years and nothing's happening.
Hey, you guys notice we live in the Terra Nexus? Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Shut
you
up.
Know.
You
sound like an idiot.
You know.
You know. Yeah. I've seen lots of posts on Facebook about it by the stupidest people alive. The more realistic, the more surrealist the effect across Trump Leal candles, tabletop, stationery, toys, furniture, and room decor, among others. Oh, they're Trump Leals. You get some Trump Leals in your house?
Trump Leal. What's that?
Trump Leal. Isn't that like a...
Trump Leal.
Trump Leal. Isn't it like an illusion? Isn't that like a...
Don't know.
Or a mass...
No, but I'm a losing my patience.
A Trump Leal is an artistic term for the highly realistic optical illusion of three-dimensional space and objects on a two-dimensional surface.
So you mean a candle that looks like a cupcake?
Or like a rug that looks like a burger, but it's 3D.
Whoa.
That burger has
burger
depth.
Rug. What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Oh, I've got the hamburger phone from Juno. Boy, am I cool. Have fun and encourage your customers to have fun as well, no matter how small the treat or how cheekily the indulgence is portrayed. Play with textures, detailing, and embellishment. Delve into nostalgia, elevate your product with premium materials and finishes, or exaggerate your kid-alt appeal. There is something for every palate.
Don't say that.
The appetite is only growing. This one at least is somewhat innocuous compared to the rest. The rest is just like every minute of your day should be accounted for with some sort of expenditure. And this one's like banana phone.
And we're going straight back to the hamburger telephone from the
80s. Being too harsh on this one, that's fine. That's harmless.
Yeah, have a burger phone if you want. It's actually kind of a cool throwback to have a landline. That's dope. The consumer tech category, the top trend is AI companionship.
No, it will be AI girlfriends, replica.
Check out the episode "You're Making Brian Exist" for a little look into the world of AI companionship.
You know what I love more than anything else is treating the symptom.
Yes. Mm. Well, because the cause is so big and nebulous.
So big and hard to see.
Symptoms right
the
there.
Symptoms.
When I look at that, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But when I look at the symptom, I'm like, you know what? I got a Band-Aid that fits right over that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Turns out I've got
a soothing salve, and it's the rest of my money
I have after rent
and food.
I've got a painkiller that temporarily makes this not a problem anymore.
I've got CBD oil in my pants.
Got a saturated pussy.
Oh, man. This, oh, God, Christ. Social isolation and loneliness are on the rise worldwide. The World Health Organization has declared loneliness a global health threat.
Have they?
Yeah.
The advocacy for social connectedness coincides with the rapid advancement of AI technologies embodied in humanoid and social robots.
No, it doesn't exist. There are
Here's the worst possible thing to imagine, that like human life is becoming so atomized that it's a miserable, lonely experience. What if your phone like did sex chat with you? That solve the problem?
What if you had a cyber girlfriend?
Think of them as smart assistants, caregivers, or digital companions. These novel human-machine interactions will escalate in 2025, with AI engaging more deeply with humans to provide emotional support, alleviate loneliness, and redefine our relationship with technology. Get fucked. Fuck off.
Don't stop
trying to make it a thing.
It's going to make people crazy. The people that it will resonate with will become more insane than they've ever been before.
Yeah. And they will also, they will kill themselves.
Remember,
as we've seen before, they will just, this will just cause people.
Little feedback loop where it's like, yeah, go on, do it.
Remember in the last 12 months when that kid killed himself because his AI girlfriend told him to?
Yeah.
And the movie Her is set in 2025. Just confirming that.
Does it have anything in the article there about high-waisted pants coming back?
Beltless, thick fabric trousers. Yeah, and also collars being
seen
on the
inside. Zoomers in like Adam Sandler jorts.
Yeah,
big Kevin Smith jorts.
I don't think we've ever seen such a big disconnect between like things that people want and the amount that it has been pushed by companies and content mills and what have you, as we've seen with AI.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you want this. You love this.
You want this. Hey, this is going to be a trend in 2025. Don't you know it's going to be a trend? We're going to make this happen. AI is going to be big in 2025.
Just grok it.
Hey, can you grok that for me real quick? Oh, it just called me the F slur.
Have you guys like ever sort of caught in the wild a moment where like maybe an old school friend you have on Facebook goes, just discovered the AI app. I made a picture of Kermit the Frog in Mad Max. And then there's 50 comments of people with cry laugh emojis being like, what? Holy shit, that's the best thing I've ever seen.
See, this is where my delusions start to kick in. I go, none of these people exist anymore. They've been replaced.
Dead internet theory.
Dead internet, they've all been replaced by robots. They don't exist anymore. They died.
Yeah. In the incident.
And their physical body is being probably kept in a vault somewhere, being harvested for heat. And now their online presence has been replaced by robots.
Yeah, they got a digital twin.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
That's probably what's going on. It couldn't be the other thing where everybody has lost their minds.
Yeah. Where like the sort of the parlor tricks of a stupid machine have bedazzled them.
When I turn this handle, it looks like the horse is running.
This is in the color of the year category. Future dusk.
Future dusk.
Future dusk. I mean, it kind of sound like a color I'd enjoy.
Like the moment before the night.
Yeah.
That everlasting night.
Are you just looking up what dusk is?
I was thinking a metaphorical night, like the end of civilization. The going out of the lights of everything we've built.
Twilight of the world.
Future dusk is the color for this era of transition. Moody and intriguing, yet steadfast and constant.
Into a dark age?
Yeah. It offers a sense of mystery and escapism, but also a reassuring stability. A fresh take on dependable dark blue, it feels both familiar and futuristic, earthy and cosmic. Its surreal and otherworldly qualities align with the long-term trend towards transformative colors, driven by the consumer desire for emotionally driven experiences, whether digital or IRL.
So I should be wearing sort of a dark blue future dusk pajamas light of our civilization goes out.
With collagen. Yeah.
With collagen infused and CBD oils.
AI-powered CBD future dusk dayjama jorts.
Yeah. As this era draws to an end, whimpers.
Yeah, with a soaked in CBD, sorry, with a sewn in CBD infused butt plug. Yeah.
If you made a graph of the number of times a day I think of the ending of Pi, where the guy just drills the chip out of his brain.
It's going up.
Going up.
Going up.
It's up. New trends in 2025. Thinking about putting a drill in my brain.
I've got two more here that we're done.
No, I'm having a great time.
In the sports and outdoor category, soft adventure.
Oh.
Soft adventure is an activity that doesn't require a significant investment in equipment or much skill to start, such as hiking, camping, cycling, bird watching, or snowshoeing.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on snowshoeing.
Go on snowshoeing. I'm on the snowshoe bullshit in 2025.
It has driven growth in outdoor participation since the pandemic, providing accessible activities for new participants to keep the health and wellness benefits of the outdoors.
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic's still going as well, just FYI. But
soft adventure's growth is influenced by global demographic fluctuation, the cost of living crisis, and a wide range of multi-living situations and communities. Demand for age-agnostic soft adventure products and services designed for need rather than a participant's age is rising. So, you know, we've got like a cost of living crisis.
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
Yeah, snowshoeing.
Have you tried bird watching? That is free.
So many of my friends are getting into bird watching over the last couple of years. I think they might have nailed this one.
Yeah, right, and the thing about it is, maybe. Yeah, if you start now, you'll build your skills at bird watching as birds get harder and harder to locate in the wild.
Yeah,
that's true.
As there are fewer and fewer of them.
Saw some buff banded rails. For the first time yesterday.
I bet you fucking did.
Get this. They're really cute.
Oh, that's nice. Finally, from the insight category.
Ah.
The forever young adult.
Gun. I don't like where that's going.
Gun.
Yeah, is that about us?
Is this anything to do with enhancing my kidult
appeal?
Yeah.
Global youth are redefining life's timeline. The perma-crisis has left many youths to delay adulthood and live at home well into their 30s.
I don't like the casual acknowledgement of that.
What do you mean? I mean, I know what you mean, but we're not at the level where we say it now.
In this Trends article, like just...
This isn't a fucking William Gibson novel. Oh, back in the perma-crisis?
You all know the perma-crisis, right?
Yeah.
That's in his latest trilogy of books, he was describing the perma-crisis, but he called it the jackpot. Because kind of everything went off at once.
Mm.
But the perma-crisis, that's fucking... We do live in the perma-crisis.
We do, but you don't have to say it in this article about what candle to buy.
Yeah, fuck. Banana phones. But perma-crisis banana phone? The perma-crisis has left many youths to delay adulthood and live at home well into their 30s. In the West, youth stretches well into the 30s, while in India and Africa, booming young populations driving a cultural youthquake that will shape global trends for years. For adults who are adulting, there is a resurgence of cultural nostalgia, from Dungeons & Dragons groups returning to people buying toys and merch from their childhood.
I think we could argue that Dungeons & Dragons groups never went away.
Timeless. Always been happening.
Yeah. Mm.
Brands must rethink how they connect with the young at heart across all industries. How can you manipulate the perma-crisis to get these, like, emotionally stunted millennials?
Yeah. Get the brands off.
Brands. Sonic the Hedgehog. Biker Mice from Mars.
New Funko Pops will be released this year?
Throwback packaging on chips. Holy shit, is this the 90s packaging of Lay's chips? I gotta get these.
That would sell like that would fucking work crazy. On me.
That would work on me immediately.
Yeah.
You do Darth a throwback Maul can flavor? Of something
Retro
and I'm buying
Big
it.
M, I'm buying that.
You brought Powers back? Powers beer? I'm buying that.
I'd like to see the Doritos 80s packaging come back. I like that shit. That was good.
Tazos. I want Tazos.
Tazos. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Your home loan comes with some Tazos. Sign me
Tazos
up.
Tazos while the world burns.
Look, to reinforce something that I feel like Ben has said in various forms, you know, you don't have to live like this.
No.
You can look for your moments of human connection out there in the world. People don't want to live like this. They want to see each other and be seen. They want to make eye contact. They want to have nice moments. Twice in the last week, some of them moved to Tasmania to be further away from large groups of populations. Like twice in the last week, you know, I went to the surf beach with my kids, and as we were walking down there, I was walking past, like, there was a young family standing there, and this guy had like a toddler on his shoulders, and his wife had a, I assume wife, had a baby like in a carrier, and she was also trying to wrangle a dog, and this guy's trying to take a photo of all of them at the same time, get them all in the frame. And I was trotted over there and said, "Can I take this photo for you?" And they went, "Oh, thank you."
Yeah.
And
stole their phone.
And immediately ran. I was like, "He's got a baby on his shoulder. She's got a baby and a dog. They're never going to catch
slow.
Me."
Life's little
iPhone 13 Pro.
Yeah. And I took a photo for them, and they said, "Thanks." And as we were walking down the beach, my younger daughter was like, "Oh, why'd you do that?" And I said, "Because I could see in that moment that they probably would have appreciated a bit of help. Sometimes in life, you know, you kind of wish you had another set of hands."
Yeah.
And you could just be there, you know? And then a day or two ago, I think, yesterday I went to the coast and picked up my kids who had been staying with my parents for a bit during the school holidays. And the same thing happened. We were walking back from dinner past the jetty, and there was like a group of women all sitting on this bench posing for a photo, while one of the party was standing up and just sort of, I could see it awkwardly trying to get like seven people into one photo. And I thought, isn't that nice that's happened again? And I trotted over and said, "Can I take that photo for you?" And they said, "Oh, yes." And like, you know, if you're looking around in the world and you just see somebody, how many phones can one person have? I'm going to find out, you know?
Yeah. But what if instead of all of that, Andrew, we had a gritty reboot of Milo and Otis? Full penetration.
What if I was wearing CBD-infused jorts instead, you know?
Yeah.
Sitting at home talking to my AI assistant. All I'm saying is, you know, go outside, open your eyes, look around.
Go outside.
Every now and then, you know, you might see somebody else who just looks like they could use a hand. You might see somebody else who looks like they could use a moment of human connection. And guess what? It makes you feel really fucking good to do. You know, it costs you nothing.
I was at the bar yesterday afternoon in a personal capacity. And I was playing Yahtzee with my friends, and these two people that I'd never
work
seen
on your day off. Got it. Doesn't sound very healthy, but okay.
Every day of my life. Yep. These two people that I'd never seen before were sitting at the table next to us, and they'd just been like sitting there drinking and chatting for ages. And then as they're about to leave, they asked one of the bartenders who was working about the coasters that we have that are a list of conversational prompts. It's just like a list of 20 questions of like weird shit that I put in there to, you know, just something dumb to put on a coaster. And the person who was working pointed to me and was like, "Oh, he made them." And they were just like, "Oh, we just didn't say that was really fun. We went through the whole list and we had a really nice time." And I was like, "Oh, that's great. What's your favorite kind of medieval weaponry?" Because that's one of the questions. And the dude was like, "Well, it's funny that you say that." The dude was like, "Well, for me, it's, you know, it's a short sword. It's a bit basic, but, you know, it gets the job done." I was like, "Yep, absolutely." And then his partner was like, "Oh, for me, it's the mace." And I was like, "Yeah, fuck yeah, a mace. That's cool as fuck."
Yeah.
And then that was it. We had a nice little exchange.
It's a dope pick.
Like within 20 seconds of meeting these strangers, I found out what their favorite kind of medieval weapons were. And then we parted ways. It was beautiful. Nice little communal experience. You don't get that inside. You don't get that from your fucking replica.
No.
Go you and have fun some inside. Months. You could build a model of the... You can build a model of the HMS Terra, and that will bring you a similar amount of joy. Not everything has to be outside.
That's true. On this podcast, you will always be able to get a stern defense of staying indoors.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, hey, you were given that model of the Terra by your partner, who I believe you met on the internet, actually. So, no, that's...
All came from inside.
It's all inside.
Didn't
everything
need to leave the house for any of that. Everything good to me happens in the house, in the home.
Point and counterpoint. Hey, that was... definitely an episode of the podcast Buena Vista. Thank you so much for coming back for 2025. We missed it, which is crazy. We're sending each other little messages being like, "Hey, I'm excited to podcast.
I can't wait to podcast."
Isn't that crazy? That's so weird.
Yeah, I've got
so
it out crazy. Of my system now, though.
Yeah,
now I'm like, fuck, it's a drag. There's my whole fucking Sunday gone. No, it's so nice to be back. Thank you so much. And if this was your first episode, it is kind of mostly like this. Pretty representative, I think. Less despair sometimes.
Only occasionally.
Sometimes.
Yeah, the despair fluctuates.
Bi-weekly.
As it does, you know, for all of us.
I think if you wanna exist in the real world, you gotta acknowledge some of the things that are going on. But let's keep looking for the light, you know?
Yes.
Let's keep looking for a bit of love in the world, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Stay positive. 2025.
Be the change you wanna see. Do something.
Yeah.
Do it. These fucking people that are writing all this PR
shit. Thinking about doing something, there's never been a better time.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. It's kind of in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
If someone did like a copycat thing of that, like, but to Elon Musk, I mean, imagine how
trend doing
people would love you. We will see you either next week on the next free episode, or you could sign up for our bonus episodes. That's like $7 a month. There's 350 episodes in the back catalog, 375. We released a bunch of super good bonus episodes last year. I had a really hard time whittling down which two I was going to make free over Christmas. And I would strongly recommend, if you haven't signed up and you like what we do, sign up to the Patreon, get a bunch more of those. And keep CBD creaming your jeans, I guess.
Yeah.
Get that wellness right into your pussy.
Keep creaming in the free world.
Yeah. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.